In association with For Whom the Cowbell Tolls.com, Mississippi State's SB Nation site, this is For Whom the Podcast Tolls. And now, Daniel Black and Ethan Lee.
Hey there, folks, and welcome to another episode of For Whom the Podcast Tolls here on January 5th, 2015. This is the official podcast of For Whom the Cowbell Tolls.com, Mississippi State's SB Nation site. I'm Daniel Black, writer for Whom the Cowbell Tolls, and joining me is fellow writer for Whom the Cowbell Tolls, Ethan Lee. Hello, Ethan.
How's it going?
I'm decent.
Decent's not bad.
Yeah, that's a positive way of, that's a positive way of looking at things. We weren't here on Thursday, so we weren't able to talk about a bunch of stuff like football.
Well, some football stuff. A lot of football stuff happened.
Yes.
But only half of the football stuff that happened that we were going to talk about happened before that show.
Yes.
So
whatever you just said.
You're still asleep.
I, for those who obviously do not know, for those who listen, who are
for listening, anybody but me at this point.
Yeah, Ethan woke me up from a nap by calling me on Skype. I was waiting for him and I fell asleep.
Stay woke.
I'll try my best.
Hashtag stay woke.
I'm not on drugs.
I'm not either. This is first day in a while that I've been actually fully sober, I guess. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't feel the part.
Well, nice.
Yeah, whatever you say. So Mississippi State beat NC State 51-28 in the Belk Bowl. Also, backstabbing Manny Diaz left us again.
Well,
I don't like him that much anymore.
No, and that's fair. Especially for the comments he made.
I didn't necessarily mind him the first time he left, but now I just absolutely despise him, and I hope he fails miserably at Miami, and I hope he gets Mark... And, well, I'm not going to say I hope he gets Mark Richt fired, because I like Mark Richt, but I hope Mark Richt fires him pretty soon, because I don't like that man. And we're going to talk about basketball we play against Texas.
Did you know that he took the guy that was coaching our safeties during the bowl game? He took him with him?
I didn't know that.
And our safeties actually played well in the bowl game?
Yeah.
The guy that had replaced...
You know Tony Hughes was coaching the bowl game, right?
No, he wasn't.
Yes, he was.
Nope.
Yep.
Ephraim Banda was coaching the safeties for the Belk Bowl.
Tony Hughes made the trip to Charlotte.
According to Joel Coleman, Banda coached MSU safeties for Belk Bowl.
That doesn't make sense. He was in Charlotte.
Well, I trust Joel Coleman.
I don't know.
You're still asleep.
No, but he went to Charlotte. That's why I'm really confused. He made the trip to Charlotte, North Carolina.
He may have made the trip, but he may not have been on the sidelines.
But he was at practices, too. What? This show is off to a banging start.
It's fantastic. Do you know that Tony Hughes is still, according to Twitter... His Twitter bio, the safeties coach and recruiting coordinator at Mississippi State.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
At least he's not. Maybe he switches his Twitter just instantly.
From December 26th, 2015, Tony Hughes will coach in the Belk Bowl.
Well, either that's a lie, or I've never heard of Ephraim Banda. To begin with, so I don't
maybe
even know.
Maybe a graduate assistant.
Probably. But he's going with Manny Diaz to Miami.
Maybe he helped coach the safeties. He wasn't the only one.
Maybe he was the in-game guy, and Hughes was in practice.
I don't know. So we're going to play we're gonna play Texas A&M in basketball. So let's talk about football. Mississippi State beat NC State 51-28 in... the final game of the 2015 season, and this is the final time for a long time that we can talk about any football recaps, which is depressing and disappointing. Oh well.
Yeah.
I'm really tired. You need to take a majority of this because I am literally about to fall asleep again. Now joining us on For Whom the Podcast Tolls yet again is Miller Yoho of the Belk Bowl Twitter account. Miller, you're making history. You are, one, our first guest of 2016, and two, you're the first guest to ever come onto the show twice. How are you today, Miller?
You know, I guess in the words of DJ Khaled and his Snapchat, I feel blessed up right now, you know?
Did you have your egg whites, turkey bacon, water this morning?
I did, but they didn't want me to have it.
This is awesome.
I think we should end it right there.
Well, I don't know if you guys saw it at halftime, like when we switched to the third quarter on the Belk Bowl Twitter account. Like, I just used a screenshot, DJ Khaled, like, join me on another ride to success. Like, that was our kickoff to the second half.
What?
Beautiful.
I missed that.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I was too busy making a GIF of the Bulldog of Bully in the Poncho, and it had the sunglasses on it and said, deal with it. That's pretty much what I did during the entire time of halftime, because I'm not good at making GIFs, but I made that one.
Yeah, that was right after me trying to recover from the officials believing that North Dakota State was playing in the game. But
that was spectacular.
And that was the first time I ever heard a press box laugh. Like, I would say 65% of the people in there laughed.
And then North Dakota State actually joined in via the Twitter.
I just feel bad they're going to be missing a timeout in the championship game.
Yeah. Oh, well. They've already won enough anyways.
Yeah.
Like,
sure.
What is now, 4 in a row?
I believe so.
Something like that.
Yeah. Anyways, Miller, there was a football game that happened on December the 30th. And, Miller, you were at said football game between the Mississippi State and the North Carolina State. What are your just initial thoughts and recollections, your favorite moments, anything, stories of that game?
Yeah, so, I mean, I do the social media for the bowl game, and I work with a little bit of media relations, and the game flies by. So the whole day is just a slow build up to the game, but once the game starts, I can't really tell you, as much as I'd want to go like into analytics and like what's happening and like, or get all analytical about it and tell you like which left guard was playing better than the defensive tackle. But, you know, to be looking at it, it's more about a series of pops and what works in terms of social media. So we were joking about that North Dakota State. Like, that's really big for us because, well, one, it's not great for the officials, but the internet blew up then. And then we had Dak's 50 something yard pass down their right sideline. Like, internet blew up again for that. And just a series of those really allows us, in terms of my job, is to stay relevant in terms of social media for just the span of the game and try to expand it, not only in intensity, but also in length of time. So we were fortunate. We had a really strong game in terms of internet popularity. The 3:30 time slot was pretty perfect because no one wants to be paying attention to work and everyone was watching on Watch ESPN or on a TV. And I think we were trending like fourth nationally for like good 6-7 hours, which was a really, oh, wow, really strong day. Made a lot of eyes on it. I got to pull the final impressions and all that, but it was really an incredible day for us.
So I hear the press box was not soundproof.
No. So there's a general, the press box is pretty, like, you hear a dull, like, roar the entire game. Nothing loud, like, it's kind of a rumble just because you're around fans and there's a little bit of volume allowed in just because you want to be able to hear certain things. But the press box is directly above the Mississippi State section. So,
fantastic. Yes.
So yeah, we heard some cowbells. It wasn't too bad. I've learned to appreciate them. And it's like a fine wine, you know, or I guess like a fine moonshine. But you learn to appreciate it. It's definitely, you guys brought it. It was loud.
On the other end of the spectrum, how were the hashtag statement sticks? Hashtag, you know, emphasis on a hashtag.
Yeah, or in state. But, you know, they were loud. Well, I went over to their side for a little bit. I walked on their sideline. I didn't go out too much. It was raining, and I just didn't want to destroy my electronics. But, you know, they were loud. I think it was fun to call us the loudest bowl game, and I think we lived up to it. Everything I heard from TV was, it was pretty loud, and the announcers were commenting on it. And, you know, that's great. That's college football. We don't want to be a sterile environment in an NFL stadium. I think a lot of games that are played in neutral site or NFL stadiums kind of take a hit, and sometimes rightfully so, for being sterile, for being very corporate, for lack of better terms. But I think in us allowing the cowbells and encouraging the statement sticks and really rolling with the idea of college football is about tradition, we transformed a great stadium in Bank of America stadium to almost a college feel, which I think is really incredible.
Now, what was the attendance like for this game? Because a lot of bowl games, they don't get anywhere near capacity, and this is an NFL stadium, so it's a pretty big stadium. But just overall, with the rain, with everything that was going on, the holidays, how was the attendance for this game? How does it stack up to previous bowl games that you've staffed? Just what was the attendance like?
You know, I was actually more – I was more impressed by what it was, because it started raining at 8 o'clock – or really 10 o'clock the night before and didn't stop. And it wasn't like a fun rain, like, hey, it's drizzling, we can live through this. Like, it was pretty nasty. There was threats. There was threats all day of lightning and stuff. And we had, you know, the media was scared of the game being moved and all this stuff. And in no way was that being planned. But we were kind of fighting, one, the rain, but also, two, fighting this fear of game being canceled, Carrie Underwood being canceled, which was, you know, it never was really a possibility, because we needed to be played on the 30th and we felt like we could get it in. But in the end, it was, we had some really diehard fans. I think I tweeted out the final attendance. It was, I think, I don't even remember, but I think I called them heroes. And I really think that was the case, because it wasn't a fun place to watch a game in terms of weather climate. But if you kind of leaned into it, embraced it, realized you're going to be wet, you could really have a good time.
You know, whatever that final attendance ended up being, it should have been plus to that if it weren't for American Airlines.
Yeah.
Thank you, American Airlines, for not letting me be at the Belk Bowl. And not seeing that Eskimo statue at the Charlotte Dairy Queen, as we discussed on the previous show, the previous time you were here. Anyways, Ethan, do you have any other questions? Because if not, we'll go to Twitter questions.
I can't think of anything else just off the top of my head.
Okay.
Because we don't have anything prepared.
All right. We got some Twitter questions, Miller.
Yes. Hey, guys, can you hear me? It's breaking up just a little
bit.
Yes,
we can hear you.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
I'm good on the roll with it.
Okay, Twitter questions. We have our first question from the Belk Bowl, at Belk Bowl. What is the meaning of life, Miller? What's your answer? And I'm purposely messing with you because you actually tweeted this, but I'm just messing with you here. But answer it anyways. We like this question.
Hey, guys, can you repeat that real quick? It's just breaking up on me.
Sure. Our first tweet is from you, the Belk Bowl. What is the meaning of life?
Oh, our own question for our own self.
Yes.
Football?
Football.
I don't know, and I don't think anyone really does know. It maybe happiness.
Happiness. I think that's a valid answer.
Works for us.
Our next question is from Bob. It's all at the snow_snowman on Twitter. Do you wish it was bowl season? Be honest.
Technically, it's still bowl season. We have one more bowl game to go. College football playoff championship game is considered a bowl game.
I agree.
To get technical.
To get technical.
But really, bowl season should be all year round.
Yeah, I agree. That would be very fun. You know, the 0-12 teams can start going into bowl games, right?
No.
I mean,
no.
Look, guys, if we're going to get unofficially, not speaking for the Buck Bowl, I would love to see Kansas play in a bowl game this year against another
Kansas and UCF.
Yeah, let's do it. My Furman Paladins beat UCF. I actually watched a full UCF game this year.
I feel sorry for you. Next, or really our final question is from ASAP Rocky Top.
Nope, there's two more, actually.
I didn't get them. What? Where are the other? Well, then you ask. I don't know where.
Well, there's technically three total, two more in addition to the snowman's.
But
You're not going to the Ask the Belk Bowl tweet that the Belk Bowl tweeted out.
No, I'm not. I am confused. You read those. I'll just read this one for now.
Okay.
From ASAP Rocky Top, ASAP spelled with a dollar sign. I don't know why. Would you, I don't understand why he asked this question. Anyways, would you rather eat your favorite meal or drop a hammer on your toe?
So I think most people, we always say we're not a person. So as a bowl game, we cannot technically eat. We are a bowl game. So, and we also don't have toes, so we can't answer that. But me personally, I would like to eat my favorite meal.
I agree. Ethan?
From Sean here, he asked specifically the Belk Bowl. He didn't tweet it at us, which is part of the problem here.
That's what confused me.
You're welcome.
I never thanked you.
So Sean is going to be in Charlotte on Friday. Will he be blessed by Belk Bowl beatification? And I don't know what Belk Bowl beatification is.
Yeah, I Googled it, and it's the process of making visual improvements to a person, place, or thing. So, yeah, just go to the Belk and South Park and buy himself some nice things. So, there you go.
And go to the Dairy Queen with the Eskimo on it.
You're hooked on that.
It's a national landmark. It's the only one in the country.
I didn't even.
Is it really a national landmark?
No.
No. But it's,
oh. Dang it.
But it's the only one in the country.
I didn't know if it was like a Parks and Rec situation where they just make anything a national landmark, or that's disappointing.
It looks like we have four other questions left.
Wait, what?
Would you rather fight Mike Tyson once or talk like him the rest of your life?
Wait, where'd you see that?
From M_Hine. He just tweeted to us.
I don't.
Would you rather fight Mike Tyson once or talk like him the rest? Talk like him. I'm just going to go and take that. I've never been in a fight, and I could not take a punch very well.
Yeah, I agree with Miller here, Ethan.
another
one?
Yeah, from SRichter23, and this may be a spoiler alert for some people. Who are Rey's real parents? Rey from Star Wars.
Oh.
I have to say this quietly. My roommate hasn't seen the movie yet, but it's Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Wait, how?
Wait. Yeah, I just read a whole article on it. Think about it. The only person who also speaks in a British accent in the entire series is Obi-Wan Kenobi.
What?
They both have similar skills. They dress similarly. They both are hermits.
Mind has been blown.
Dang.
It's the British accents. I mean...
Yeah.
Devoted Cubs fan at Morning Marsh 58. Ask who do we got in the national championship game? Technically, the bowl is neutral, but me, as a Clemson grad student and lifelong Clemson fan, I am praying that we don't get destroyed.
You're a Clemson fan, huh?
I am. I keep that very secret until the offseason. You guys are getting the real details now.
Okay, it's a scoop.
Yeah. And then
breaking news?
GMG. J_G_2. We bring back the all caps for next year's bowl game. So we tweeted in all caps because we called ourselves the loudest bowl game. I don't know. I might try another thing. I think that went over really well.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. And after College Game Day was in Starkville last year, Chris Fowler tweeted in all caps thanking Starkville for a great experience.
There you go. Nice.
So I'm not saying that you stole his idea, but I'm just saying that he did that too.
Yeah. So that's all I have, guys.
That's all we have. Yeah. So unless you have anything else, Ethan.
Oh, no, thank you for joining us again.
Yeah, we just are really appreciative of all the Mississippi State fans who came up to Charlotte. We hope you guys had a good time. And we're also appreciative of all the people who follow us online, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And, you know, we don't want to be just a year follow. Instead, we want to be a, you know, kind of 12 months. We want to hear what's college football season like in February, what's it like in April. And we're going to work with your social media department to kind of hopefully have some really unique ideas that get you involved and keep kind of the pride of being Belk Bowl champions. And we encourage people to hang around, have fun, keep cracking jokes. And, you know, I personally am very appreciative of being able to do that. And I'm appreciative of everyone who hangs out online with me.
So there we go. Miller, we got one more question if you want to answer it.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
From Dear Old State, at Dear Old State on Twitter. Is tucking your shirt into the front of your jeans but not the back still a thing?
Yes, for middle school boys.
I never knew this was a thing.
I didn't.
It definitely is.
Really?
it's a thing. I don't advise it personally. It's just, it's not a good look.
I never heard of that in my life, but there we go.
Yeah.
So yeah, Miller, we very much appreciate your coming on to the show.
Thank you.
You can go. We hope we can come back to the Belk Bowl. So one, I can go to Charlotte, and two, because you can come back on the show. Because this has been fun.
I appreciate you guys having me. It means a lot.
All right.
You're definitely in our top five of guests on the show, just for what it's worth.
As long as I'm not in the bottom five, I'm happy.
Well,
I shoot for the middle in life.
We've only had five guests, so technically you are in the bottom five as well.
I hope I spoiled Star Wars for you tonight.
Thank you very much for coming on here, Miller. We've appreciated it.
Take care, guys.
Okay, well, for a while it looked like Mississippi State was just going to run away with this in the first half. Cruising on offense, ended up getting 569 yards of nice offense. Yeah. And then, you know, we talked last time a little bit that I thought it might be something like the Arkansas game.
Yeah.
And in the second quarter, it started to look like the Arkansas game. NC State pulls it within, you know, they score 14 in the second quarter. The halftime margin was 31-14.
Yep.
I don't have the scoring recap right here, but I know that, what was it, like 21-7 and then 21-14 at one point, yeah, or something like that?
Correct. So,
you know, NC State tried to make it a game, and through the, I think at, in the third quarter, at one point it was a one-score game.
Yeah.
So, and just back and forth affair for a little while. But overall, Mississippi State, you got the feel as the game wore on that we were just the more talented, more experienced team throughout. And they pulled away in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
We pulled away.
You know what's interesting, and it's not anything involving the game, but I'm just looking at these ESPN stats.
What?
They have the full names of Aries Williams and Dontavian Lee.
We talked about it earlier, too. Gary Green, Brandon Bryant.
Well, yeah, I don't understand why they do that.
They don't do it for all the players. They only do it for some.
That's weird. Anyways, continue.
You know, we see guys like Dak Prescott and Darunya Wilson cap their careers at Mississippi State because Darunya has since announced that he's going pro with phenomenal games, just huge games. Bear was 4 yards short.
What?
4 yards short. yards.
Oh man, okay.
With as much...
are you sure you're not on drugs, Ethan?
No. With as much mud that they were, whatever. He didn't shart.
What about?
He was 4 yards short of another 100-yard game for his career. He's had a great career at Mississippi State, and he's going to go play on Sundays. Which I'm a little disappointed about because I didn't think his route running was all that crisp. I thought he was a little bit rough in the way he played. But, you know, at the NFL, there's enough coaches there that, and he has enough talent there that he can be coached and those issues can be fixed. Fred Ross had a huge game, 7 receptions, 74 yards. And another guy that doesn't really get talked about much
you
in the receiving
speak,
game.
You cannot speak.
No, I can't. I'm still recovering from the fact that Bear Wilson sharted himself. But Brandon Holloway had a huge game.
Yeah.
4 receptions, 78 yards. He had more receiving touchdowns than any other receiver.
Indeed.
He had two, with a long of 55.
Yep.
If Brandon Holloway had been used like this the entire season, I don't think we're complaining as much about the way the season went overall, because he didn't have a great game rushing. He only averaged 3.2 yards per carry. That's not really much of a surprise. That's the way the season has gone.
Yeah.
Ashton Shumpert showed up for a couple of big runs.
Yeah, I was, wow.
You know, wow. There he gets, he goes for 8 yards and just runs guys over.
I tweeted that twice, the little emojis with the flashing, like, emergency, like, ambulance lights.
Yeah.
It said, Ashton Shumpert, big gain alert. And they weren't necessarily big gains, but they were big gains for him.
He had a couple of big runs and then a couple of, you know, the
meh runs
we've seen all season.
Yeah.
But that was more of the Ashton Shumpert we thought we were going to get.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
I don't know if he's been injured all season and now he's finally healthy, whatever. But he had a pretty good game for the year that he has had. He lined up at fullback a couple times, I think. Was put out wide at receiver a couple times. So I think the coaching staff and Mullen are starting to figure out ways they can use him on the field.
Certainly.
They read my article.
I don't think, I don't know. I don't think that actually happened. Sorry to tell you.
Yeah. Just overall, the defense gave up 400-something yards. Gave up 4 touchdowns. But to an NC State offense that went score-for-score with Clemson.
And they fired their offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Matt Canada is his name.
You know, if we had offensive coordinator problems like Texas A&M,
yeah,
I'd be calling for him to be hired, honestly. I didn't understand the uproar. There's got to be more to it.
Didn't they say they're looking at UCLA's offensive coordinator right now?
Yeah, I've heard that.
Which is interesting because they play UCLA next year.
That'll be an interesting hire. But as for NC State's offense, they never got to a rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
Which is weird, saying, you know, they got 400-something yards, but they can never get into a rhythm.
Yeah.
Jacoby Brissett seemed to be sacked every other play.
Yeah.
Does
it say how many sacks he had in here?
I don't know if here, but I thought it was like six or seven.
Maybe I can find it here.
I
usually look up the Mississippi State stats on their website, which has like every single stat, but
yeah.
When I clicked on it, it turned into a site map for hillstate.com, and I didn't want that. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
But a couple of young guys that had big games, Gary Green and Brandon Bryant.
Uh-huh.
Two huge plays for them. So we got to see some different looks here and there on the defense. You know, despite giving up 400 something yards, I'm still happy with the way the defense played,
mm-hmm.
given who they played. We talked on the preview show with our guest, Stephen Muma, that we expected NC State to be able to run the ball. And overall, they were. You know, Jacoby Brissett, 26 carries for 67 yards. Nyheim Hines, 13 carries for 70 yards. Jalen Samuels, 3 carries, 53 yards. So you're getting these huge yardage totals, but it never really felt like they could consistently run the ball throughout the game, especially Brissett. He seemed to be bottled up quite a bit, at least to me.
Yeah.
That being said, they bottled up Dak.
I found the stats.
You did find the stats.
Let's find sacks. He got sacked 5 times.
5 times. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll take that. I'll take that any day. Does it have a yardage total?
Let me find that. I just got off of it. 27 yards.
27 yards worth of sack yardage?
Sacks, yes.
Okay. So
about a little over 5 yards per sack.
Okay. If he hadn't been sacked 5 times, Jacoby Brissett has 21 carries for 94 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah.
So, but yet, he was under fire all day.
It wasn't his best performance in terms of stats-wise, had 2 interceptions.
No. He's had a pretty good career, especially at NC State. And, you know, for Mississippi State, for the real state.
Shots fired. Bang, yeah. Bang. the heat from the takes is headed over to Raleigh.
Okay, so for the Bulldogs play the way they did for the gosh dang it. Okay, yeah.
Fire
so
emojis.
That's about it. You're gonna keep going with your hot takes.
No, I'm not. You go ahead. You keep speaking.
Okay. Just overall, what a way to end the career of Dak Prescott. Fire. Just what a way, you know?
Yeah.
Send him out with what he set a yardage total record for the Belk Bowl, didn't he?
Well, yes, as Mr. Vanderlip predicted.
So, hats off to Mr. Vanderlip for
that. Shout out to Mr. Vanderlip. Yeah, shout out to him.
So, it'll be interesting to see what happens with Dak's career.
Mm-hmm.
Some have said that, you know, he's a tight end, he's a fullback. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. If I would have to guess, if he gets drafted, he's probably going to be like fifth or sixth round. Probably.
See, I was guessing fourth. Third or fourth.
I don't know.
Late third. I don't think he'll be taken fifth or sixth because there's not many good quarterbacks in this class.
Gosh,
I mean, when Christian
Chad
Hackenberg...
Leave.
What?
I said, gosh, I wish Chad Kelly could leave, but apparently he's announced that he's coming back.
He did?
In his post-game press conference, he said, one more year.
We're doomed. That changes things.
Were you expecting anything better, to tell you the truth? I'm just asking.
I was hopeful.
Yeah, you shouldn't be hopeful. You should take
losing so much. I don't understand why he put himself through that.
You should take the pessimistic point of view. Well, we were losing a lot this year. Why did Dak come back?
You think he saw what Dak had to go through this year and say, oh, I'm not going to do that.
A 9-4 season isn't all that bad.
No, a 9-4 season isn't, but without Dak, we were probably 5-7.
And that's exactly what Chad Kelly's probably thinking. Ole Miss is going to go 8-4, 9-3 next year, and probably a win in the bowl game, depending on who they're playing. So
it'll be interesting
to
see. How many offensive linemen are they losing?
I don't know, but they're losing Tunsil, and that's all that matters.
They're losing Tunsil, they're losing
Treadwell. They are going to be bringing in Greg Little, though, who's the number one offensive tackle in the country.
They're losing...
Who's apparently the next Tunsil.
Is Ingram going?
No.
Ingram's not going?
He's announced that.
Crap.
Yeah, I'm telling
Crap.
You. Yeah.
Because I was getting really excited. I was thinking, oh, Evan Ingram's gone. Treadwell's gone. Chad Kelly's gone. They're going 5-7.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, no.
Hey, Ethan, do you think we're going to lose to them?
No.
You're dumb.
Okay. Anywho.
You're really dumb. Okay, basketball. We play Texas A&M on Wednesday in the heroic return of Rick Stansbury, and Rick Stansbury will be...
No, don't ever say that. No. Heroic return?
He's returning to Starkville.
It's not a heroic return.
In Rick Stansbury's return to Starkville, he will be honored before the game, and I think I could be going, but I may not be. Probably not.
Which team are they honoring? Or are they specifically honoring Stan?
They are honoring him.
Why?
Because he's the winningest coach in Mississippi State basketball history and brought us to 6 NCAA tournament appearances, plus 3 NIT appearances, so 9 postseason appearances, 2 SEC tournament titles, an SEC regular season championship. I wonder why they're honoring him.
Do you want to know why else they're honoring him? You want to know what else he brought?
Renardo Sidney. Well, you know what, Ethan?
The way his career ended in Starkville.
You know, you're pulling a Jackie Sherrill here. Here we go.
No. What I'm saying is, it just feels early for them to honor him.
Well, because
there are still mixed feelings. It's not just me that feels this way.
But it's the first time he's coming back actually as a coach. That's why they're honoring him. Like he
is
just
it really?
Yes.
Okay.
We didn't play at home against A&M last year. We only played in College Station.
Oh, we had. Hmm.
No.
Which team
so he'd
think?
Just be sitting on the bench.
I'm thinking of South Carolina.
So pretty much,
That's the game I went to.
So pretty much if they were not honoring Stansberry, Stansberry would be sitting on the A&M bench in the place where he used to coach for 22 years, not including his time as a head coach, with no anything.
Yeah.
That's their thought process.
That's fair.
Yes, it is fair.
It still seems
for the winning for the winningest coach in Mississippi State basketball history, who won an SEC title and two SEC tournaments.
I don't care what you say.
Well, I don't care what you say.
It's like if Dan Mullen were to bring in some clown, he ends up getting fired. He's asked to leave, and then he goes and coaches like Auburn as their
in quotes retired.
Retired.
I mean, it's still 4 years, though.
Yeah, but that's only 4 years.
I mean, 4 years is a good amount of time. I mean, a lot has happened in 4 years, Ethan.
The Rick Ray era.
Yeah, exactly. For a little bit, a lot of people missed Stansberry, so.
I remember a lot of people clamoring for him to be fired.
But then a lot of people also missed him.
I'll
just say this. That his time was a lot better than the last 3 years. Let's just put it that way.
But the last 3 years were necessary, in a way, to get rid of some of the crap.
No, listen. I agree with you.
Yeah.
But just the notion that he shouldn't be honored because it's been 4 years since his firing, I think that's kind of just ridiculous.
It just, to me, I personally would wait longer.
So you're saying that he's just going to sit on the bench as the winningest coach in Mississippi State history, where he lived for 22 years at the place, Browning Creek, where my dad used to own a place. We were neighbors with Rick Stansberry. It was neat. So, yeah.
Yeah, I would say that.
Yeah, he's...
Because he brought Renardo Sidney. He did it to himself. And he decided to keep Sidney.
Decided to let go Elgin Baylor instead of Renardo Sidney.
So anyway...
Way to put a sour taste in the mouths of everyone, Ethan.
This A&M team's really good.
You just ruined my day. I don't want to talk about this anymore. Because you just reminded me of the Hawaiian Punch and Renardo Sidney.
They have a win over top 16 Baylor.
They have a win over then number 10 Gonzaga.
They destroyed Arkansas.
Yeah, of course, Arkansas's not spectacular, but...
Still... They've scored in the hundreds twice this year.
I don't necessarily know how they lost to Syracuse.
Yeah, Syracuse isn't great.
No.
And Arizona State's not a
They're not bad, bad. Loss,
but it's not a great loss.
Yeah.
The way they lost, especially.
But still, they have wins over Baylor and Gonzaga.
Kansas State.
And
Texas.
Yeah.
Florida, Gulf Coast, they're not.
I mean, they're not.
The hype bad. Team they were, but that's still a notable win. This is a good team.
Yeah.
It's not a good time to be playing them.
No.
I'd rather be playing them after they play teams like Tennessee and Florida and Georgia.
Not Tennessee? Tennessee sucks. Have you actually
known? They have to go to Tennessee.
Tennessee's really bad.
What I'm saying
really,
is...
Really? But no, Ethan. They're probably as bad as us.
Really?
Yeah.
They still have to go to Tennessee. And what
Who
I'm
cares?
Saying is... Road trips... aren't exactly good. They're not exactly easy. You have to travel.
We play Tennessee soon, too.
You know, we're going to try to get Charlie Burris on the show, right?
Yay, Charlie. He's already agreed to it, so.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, Tennessee's the same record as us.
I'm going to look at their stats here.
Tennessee's or Texas A&M's?
Not Texas A&M's.
That's what I thought.
I don't know why I would look up Tennessee stats.
A&M's got a loaded schedule. On the back end, they have to play Iowa State, who's 13 right now, 22 South Carolina, number 9 Kentucky.
South Carolina is if you've seen their schedule is pretty weak. South Carolina is good,
they're still
but they're not great.
But they're still 13-0.
Yeah, against their best two non-conference wins are Clemson and Memphis.
I don't care. If you're 13-0, that's still something to celebrate.
Okay, Texas A&M, their offense, they're averaging 80.6 per game points per game, and they're giving up 64.6.
Oof.
They're shooting 38.4% from 3-point, giving up 31.7%. they're not shooting too great from the free throw line. 63.7%.
Let's hack them. Just bring on any walk-ons we have and just hack their best or their worst free throws.
And they're shooting 48.4% from the field.
You know, this is a team that went deep in the NIT last year.
Indeed.
It feels like those sort of teams that go deep in the NIT bring back a lot of players, tend to go far in the season
mm-hmm.
next year.
Yeah.
This is a good team.
Yeah.
I'm not looking forward to this game.
No. No, and you knowing your thoughts about Texas A&M University.
Man, I have a lot of friends there.
That's all you're going to say?
That's all I'm going to say.
They've got a golf course. And
it's one of the most boring campuses I've ever seen.
You want to talk about Texas A&M for a second?
Hey,
time out. I'll give you, I know you've already done this probably before on A&M week, but I'll let you do it again. Just vent about Texas A&M for as much as you want.
See, but I don't have...
I'll give you open floor. Jokes. You don't have... You don't have
any jokes.
You don't have any what?
I have a list of Aggie jokes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't have that list with me right now. I think it's back in Starkville.
You can't think of anything off the top of your head?
I mean, Johnny Manziel apparently goes to Las Vegas wearing a blonde wig and goes by the name Billy. That's legitimate. That's legitimate info that has come out lately.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's,
I feel sorry for Billy.
Yeah, that's all you said?
We're going to go with that because that's the most interesting thing about A&M right now. What their former quarterback, who didn't even graduate there, is doing right now.
He's a quality human.
He needs help.
I was being sarcastic.
He needs help.
Yeah, and he actually tried to get help.
He tried. He needs.
And that really backfired.
Oh, he needs more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, basketball. So, yeah, this is a really good offensive team they have here. Over in,
pretty good defense.
Yeah, not bad defense. I'm trying to. Let me look up the SEC basketball like rankings or something. I don't know.
The standings, more or less?
Not standings. I'm talking about just, like, stats and how they rank, each team ranks in a certain statistic. Yes. Points. No, I wanted. I'm dumb. Let's see.
I wonder if the SEC site would have anything.
That's exactly what I'm looking at right now.
Oh.
I'm way ahead of you, pal. Texas A&M currently ranks fourth in the SEC in terms of points per game. They are behind LSU, Arkansas, and South Carolina. Field goal percentage. They rank first in the SEC in field goal percentage. You know who's second?
Who?
Mississippi State.
Oh. Are you looking at team stats?
Yeah.
Because they have their center, Tyler Davis, is leading the conference in field goal percentage.
Yeah.
You know who's second?
Well, I have it right here. Time out. What's this stat?
This is field goal percentage per player.
It says right here that Gavin Ware is first.
Nope.
And what? I may be looking at the wrong stat.
You're probably looking at the wrong stat.
Field goal percentage.
Field goal percentage.
Number one, Gavin Ware, with a field goal percentage of 70.4, and he is absolutely mauling the competition.
Nope. Tyler Davis, A&M, 76.1.
I don't know.
I'm going to send you this link.
This is the SECSports.com.
Yeah, let's... Click on the link. This show is just weird.
Yeah, right now. It is. We are very much unprepared. But really, that's a lot of the shows, really. Come on, Twitter load.
Alex Caruso, their guard, is leading the conference in steals per game.
Ooh, well, that's... Yeah, okay.
That's really not surprising. He had a pretty good year last year, if I remember correctly.
Let's see. What this is. That's really weird.
Do you see what I just sent
you? Right now, I'll send you what I'm looking at.
That works.
This is a top 15 list, not just a top 5.
Okay. What is this?
Field goal percentage.
Well, I see that. I wonder if this has to do with shots taken. If the other one had the parameters were smaller, essentially.
Maybe. Because this, if so, that Tyler Davis guy isn't even in the top 15.
No, he's not listed here. I don't really care that much to look into his stats. But anyways,
A&M is currently first in the SEC in field goal percentage ahead of Mississippi State. So forget the individual player stuff, because I don't know what's what.
And in terms of rebounds per game, they're crushing us too.
Yeah.
Which is not surprising, since our only rebounder is Gavin Ware.
Gavin Ware. And I'm just going to look at defense here. Team statistics. Well, no, there's just rebounds. I imagine that they are
They're getting 5 more rebounds per game.
Well, all right.
But I would imagine they have more depth up front.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just going to kill us as the game goes on, because we saw what happened against FSU.
Yeah.
We saw it against, who is it, UMKC? Teams that just have more depth up front beat us.
So, Ethan, go back to what you were just looking at.
Yeah.
And then go to field goal percentage and click on complete leaders. And that's what I was looking at.
Okay. Yeah, it's what you sent me.
That's really weird.
I think this has to do with just outright percentages is what the first one is. So anybody who's taken a shot this year,
yeah,
more or less.
Uh-huh.
And then the one that has that what you sent me, has narrowed down parameters, so like per 100 shots or whatever.
It says, to qualify, a player must be on pace to play in 75% of the team games and average more than 5 field goals per game.
There you go.
So, yeah, pretty much my stats are better.
They're not your stats. You didn't take them.
The stats that I found are better.
Okay.
So Gavin Ware, yeah. But there's a guard for Texas A&M named Jalen Jones, who was 8th in the SEC.
Yeah.
So,
Just overall,
should be a high scoring game. Their defense is good.
Yeah.
Our defense is not.
Yeah.
We just need to flat out outscore them.
You know what I said about the LSU football game?
What did you say about the LSU football game?
You don't remember
at
all?
No. Okay. I've forgotten everything about that weekend.
Said it about LSU football, said it about Bama football. This is a case of we have to outscore them.
That didn't necessarily happen in either one of them.
No, we need to force it into being a shootout.
That didn't happen in the LSU game.
No.
Or the Alabama game.
No.
No.
So I'm not going to say it here, but that's what needs to happen.
Yeah.
But otherwise, we're just not going to win.
Yeah. I want to make a prediction now.
I want to look up their roster real quick.
Okay, I'll just go ahead and make a prediction.
Their depth up front. You give your thoughts.
I'm going to say Texas A&M 88, Mississippi State 70.
That sounds about right. I'm just going to go ahead and give you the heights of 3 guys here.
Okay.
Tyler Davis,
yeah,
their center, who we talked about a little bit.
A little bit.
He's a freshman.
Yep.
He's 6'10", 265.
Okay.
I'm going to butcher this name. Yeah. Tani Trosha Morilo.
No, don't even try.
Okay. He's also 6'10", and he's 229.
All right.
And then DJ Hogg.
Yep.
That's an amazing name.
Yeah.
Also a freshman. He's 6'8".
Yeah.
He's got a lot of youth up front.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But still a lot of height and still a lot of size. And we're not going to win this game.
No. No, we are not.
If Eric Holman was playing, I'd feel more confident.
Mm-hmm.
If he was fully healthy, I don't think he's fully healthy.
No, he's
probably going to play.
Yeah.
But he's definitely not fully healthy.
I'm just going to look at our roster here to compare, and I'm kind of scared to do so.
I'll send you this link.
The tallest player on our team is no longer on the team.
Falun Adoyi?
Yeah. He's 6'10". Eric Holman is 6'10", but he's not fully healthy. And right behind him is Gavin Ware at 6'9", and behind him is a player that's redshirting, Joe Strug.
Where's Johnny Zabardo?
He's 6'8".
Okay.
So A&M has two 6'10 guys compared to our one 6'9 guy.
And this is just a case of they just have more depth this year.
Yeah.
I mean, again, if Eric Holman were fully healthy, I'd feel more confident. We probably would be better team.
Mm-hmm.
Our record would be better, but it's just Malik Newman would have to have an insane game.
Yeah.
For us to win this. Malik Newman and Gavin Ware.
Yeah.
And I just don't think Malik Newman can go score for score with these guys.
So, yeah, my prediction is 88-70 to the Aggies.
Yeah, I'm going to say like 93-71 Aggies.
You say a bit more of a blowout. Okay.
This is a game that might be close at half.
Uh-huh.
But their depth up front is going to take away our leading scorer and rebounder.
Yeah.
And that's going to hurt us.
So,
Craig Ford would need to play better. Malik Newman would need to play better. IJ Reddy. These guys in the backcourt would have to pick up the slack, and they just haven't done that up to this point in the season.
Yeah. So I guess that'll wrap it up for this episode of the podcast. Also, we didn't get any other questions. So.
Well, we did get one question.
What was the question?
After Miller left.
Well, it was really for him, so.
Well, we can answer it.
Okay. What was it?
Let me find it. Oh, crap, I'm in the wrong Twitter account.
Okay, I got it. Nope. Are trucker hats and Affliction t-shirts the best things to wear? I don't know. What? Huh? This is from Greg.
GJD1986. Does he follow us? He does not follow
us.
He
doesn't. I don't know what. Okay.
I'm looking at some of his other tweets.
I'm not answering that question.
And he tweeted something about The Bachelor. He's tweeted at Busted Coverage.
Uh-huh.
He's tweeted at someone called Sarah Spain, who I don't know who Sarah Spain is. Someone with ESPN. Yeah, he definitely doesn't follow us. I don't think he's a Mississippi State fan. He's probably just following the Buckle Bowl.
I don't know. Anyways, Ethan, do you have any final thoughts?
Yeah. So today we saw around the conference yesterday as they're listening, or 43 years ago as they're listening. You never know when.
43 years ago?
You never know.
Okay.
We saw some players go pro. We've seen A&M signed a quarterback to come play for them, Trevor Knight. And the SEC West just looks really weird going into next year. I tweeted a little bit about this earlier that A&M's losing a lot. Arkansas is losing a lot because they had Hunter Henry go pro. Finally, thank God. That man killed us the past 2 years.
Yeah, but we still beat him.
I don't care. He's gone, and we don't have to worry about tight end over the middle anymore, except for Jeremy Sprinkle. Still have to worry about him. Auburn's still a train wreck. So, realistically, the SEC West, just looking at it, Alabama's going to be the best team again.
Oh, yeah.
But Mississippi State, with all the youth that it had this year, played 13th most amount of freshmen in the nation this year, like second most in the SEC.
Uh-huh.
Going into next year, they're not going to be freshmen anymore. They're going to be expected to carry the weight of more of the season, I guess. I don't know. Carry the burden that we have a few seniors going off. There's a realistic shot for Mississippi State to contend for second in the West again. I know your thoughts. I know your. Okay. We're going to throw away Arkansas, Auburn, and A&M for now because they're all garbage.
And we're going to lose to Ole Miss, Alabama, and LSU and finish fourth in the West.
No. Would you just shut up?
No. because your expectations are way too high and ridiculous.
Would you just let me finish? Because I think you might actually agree with
me. You're getting angry with me. I'm sorry.
Just.
And I have 2% left on my battery. I need to hurry this up.
Okay, go get your charger.
It's it. My sister has it.
Oh crap. Okay, so between Ole Miss, LSU, and State, you know, they'll be battling for second in the West. I know your thoughts on, oh, we're not going to win these games. Blah, blah, blah. There are realistic shots for this team to win those games. So, yes, we're losing Manny Diaz. Yes, we lost Tony Hughes. If Mullen can get the right hires, this team can be right in the race for, what, you know, second in the West, a 9-3 season. Has that ever happened at Mississippi State to get consecutive 9-plus win seasons?
This,
3 times in a row?
It's never happened twice until now.
Okay, well, making history, man.
Well, I think we can win 9 games. I don't think we can finish second in the West by any stretch of the imagination, because I think that LSU will be talented enough that they can finish second in the West. If I were to just list the SEC West off the top of my head right now, I'd go Alabama, LSU, Ole Miss, State, A&M, Arkansas, Auburn.
See, I'd have Arkansas last, Auburn 6th, A&M, State or Ole Miss, LSU, Bama. And I think the Egg Bowl decides 3rd.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I don't think we're going to... You know my thoughts about the Egg Bowl.
Yeah, because you're negative Nancy.
And I'm also true. Like, who won our bowl picking contest, by the way? I did.
Hey, you want to know something?
What?
You picked NC State.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
You also picked Alabama to beat Mississippi State. That was dumb.
I picked Alabama to beat Mississippi State? That's exactly what you said. And that's it for this episode, because your computer's about to die. So, for Daniel Black, no. I am Finley.
I'm Tom.
And goodbye, everybody.
No, okay.